It can vary substantially. So pain itself is an individual experience. For some people, the best way to describe it is probably the impact it has. So that getting out of the bed, someone can't get out of the bed, they're in complete agony. For other people, they can get out of the bed and get moving, but it's just this constant painful feeling throughout the day.
So this is something that's pretty pervasive in their lives. It kind of affects them all the time.
Absolutely, yes. You talk about it as a pain disorder, but it's one that in particular has symptoms that target multiple facets of an individual. Pain is the primary identifying symptom, but it also has very significant impact on someone's fatigue level. It impacts their sleep, ability to engage and maintain work when it's severe. It can result in difficulties in social functioning because of some of those symptoms as well. So it's quite a diffuse disorder in terms of the impact it can have on someone's life.
Do these things kind of compound? If someone isn't sleeping because of the pain, does that then make the pain worse?
Absolutely. And then it might make the fatigue worse and the symptoms impact upon each other. You may start with severe pain. It can then generate more fatigue. The fatigue influences your ability to have good quality sleep. Bad sleep, you might get headaches. Headaches, you might get the fibro-fog flare. So it does have a cumulative effect.
So where does it come from? Where does this pain come from?
That is one of the issues with fibromyalgia, is that for a long time, no one really knew what was causing it, and no one knows what is the cause of it. Still, the most evidence exists for at the moment that may be at least driving the pain of fibromyalgia is what's identified as central sensitization, which essentially describes when the cells in the brain become hypersensitive. And in the case of central sensitization, these cells are hypersensitive in the brain's pain network. So the brain is always heightened to pain information, and that it could be driving the fibro. There's other reasons as well. There has been links to hormone changes, and in some cases that's thought to maybe underpin why there's a gender difference in particular for fibro, so it is generally more common in females. There's a number of other links to what might be related to the onset or exacerbation of fibromyalgia. So, for example, fibromyalgia is linked to stressful events or a trauma. It could be linked to an illness. So sometimes people become unwell, even glandular fever, for example, and they go on to develop fibro not long after, as well as repetitive injuries. So if you have a number of pain injuries, you can develop this.
So it's not just genetic?
No, and the answer to what causes fibromyalgia is not clear. So far, there's relationships about what's happening in someone's body. In the central brain level, there is definitely something going on, but we don't know what's causing it.
Does this lack of an understanding around what causes fibromyalgia lead to misdiagnosis in patients?
Yes, absolutely. So with fibromyalgia, as you picked up on, it's a stigmatized disorder, which has had an unfortunate impact on a lot of people that live with the diagnosis of fibromyalgia. Because of the stigma around fibro, it can take some time to get a diagnosis. And in that time, you, depending on the clinician that you see, you may be told that it's something that is not real. If you've identified perhaps that you've had a previous trauma, say in your childhood, you may be indicated that you have a psychologically based disorder, and you may end up seeing a psychologist when a treatment for fibromyalgia is multidisciplinary and you would need to see a range of relevant professionals.
That stigma, that idea that it's psychosomatic and people might be making it up, you said that it influenced the way it's treated. If you walk into a health professional, they might give you treatment along the lines of antidepressants or treat it as a mental illness. You know, can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Fibromyalgia is linked to a number of other disorders. Some of them include mood and anxiety. So you have someone coming into a psychiatrist, for example, and they report fatigue, low mood. They might mention that they have had a history of trauma. This is a picture that's looking like depression. But unless that pain is spoken about, there might not be a trigger in someone's mind, but also pain, somatic experience is linked to psychiatric illness as well. So without a really thorough assessment and a thorough conversation, it can be difficult to tease apart some of the disorders that fibromyalgia co-occurs with.
So what comes first in those cases? Is it pain causing depression, or could it be depression causing pain?
Excellent question, and one I often ask myself, and it seems to be dependent on the person. So for some people, depression can be in someone's life for a very long time, and then the fibromyalgia starts. In others, the fibro is what starts first, and then the major depression.
Is this the case that no matter what comes first, the pain does cause the depression to be worse, and sometimes the depression can cause the pain to be worse?
I think that's 100% correct. Both can exacerbate the other, but it's also important to note that not everybody with fibromyalgia will have depression, and not everyone with depression will have fibromyalgia or pain. There's such a huge variability in experience, and I think that really highlights into the stigma we spoke about earlier. As two patients or two individuals who have fibromyalgia don't necessarily look the same.
For me, sometimes this pain can be so debilitating, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to interact with other people. For the patients that you've worked with, does this affect not just their work and their lives, but also their relationships?
Absolutely. I hate to bring it back again, but that stigma. So when you have a partnership and you've been together 10 years, and in the last five, your life has changed because you've developed fibromyalgia. Now, that partnership ultimately changes as well. And that support that is easy to give when it's, say, 6 weeks because someone's had an injury, when it starts getting longer and longer and longer, even the most supportive partner can find it challenging. And they may not always understand it, and they may sometimes snap and get frustrated and want you to be better. And that can cause problems in that relationship or with the parent and the child relationship as well. Sometimes it's hard to provide support if you can't see or you don't understand why someone is so unwell.